You want your kids to become successful and liked.
Hmm.
And superheroes.
And friends with Robert Downey Jr. That's...
Hi, I'm Dave Berry, and back in 2018, I became a parent for the first time to our daughter, Evie. It wasn't long before I started to try and think of ways in which I could glean invaluable dad advice whilst hearing the stories of other parents' journeys, and so the Dad Pod was born. And joining me this time round is an award-winning comedian, author, and father to four sons, Tom, Sam, Harry, and Patrick. It's Dominic Holland. Hey, Dominic.
Dave, how are you doing?
Good, man. It's lovely having you on.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me. I feel it's a subject on which I can espouse.
100%. We'll get into this. Because a couple of things I want to point out at the start of the podcast for all those listening is that you have a brand new book coming out called Made in England in
new
July.
Novel. New novel,
That's
yeah.
a novel, and hopefully that will become a screenplay and a movie, which I'm sure it will. But the book we're going to kind of be leaning into more for the purposes of this podcast is named Eclipsed.
Yes.
And that is going to be coming out in audiobook form in July. I'm a big fan of audiobooks. I think
it's my first one, actually. It's the first one I've done.
Well, I can't wait to hear it because I really enjoyed reading it. I mean, I think that what audiobooks have done for me personally is the amount of literature that I've been able to consume has gone up like 700%.
Yeah.
Words I wouldn't normally be able to pronounce. I'll allow someone like you to pronounce for me.
I've already used the word espouse. I mean, that's
quite... the reason that I'm fascinated by Eclipsed and I really did enjoy it is that it's a wonderful read about your own forays into fame and how your fame was eclipsed by your eldest son, Tom.
Correct.
And that is, of course, Tom Holland, a.k.a. Spider-Man.
That's a good introduction, isn't it? Yeah. People are now going, oh, I listen to this.
That's why
suddenly, oh.
That's why I did it in the first paragraph, Dom. No offence. No, I'm kidding. It's a story full of coincidence, serendipity. For example, there's a lovely part in the book where you speak about at the exact moment in time, Tom is playing Billy Elliot in the West End.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing gigs in a small village hall in front of the buffet table.
With too much quiche and not enough salmon.
Yeah, there's always a bit of quiche for you backstage. So as someone yourself with a lot of experience, with ambition, award-winning success... Almost, let's cut to the chase. What kind of mixed bag of emotions was it when you were eclipsed by your eldest son, Tom?
Well, I have to say, pure joy. Some people say to me, are you jealous of your son? Which I think is the most unusual question to get asked, okay? Because I absolutely herald what's happened to Tom. And it's even more beautiful because there was no plan, okay? Tom had never gone, he didn't go to a stage school. He went to a school like me in London, an ordinary state school, never in a school play. So the reason why I think the book works is because I had meticulous plans to write screenplays and become Richard Curtis, all laid out for me. I'd sold movies to America and done all that stuff. And with the little lad, Tom, there were no plans whatever. And yet he has confounded all the odds and has become Tom Holland, the actor, who everyone knows now. And it seems like a perfect story for me to relate because there's no rancour. And there's also no disappointment in my career, even though, as you know, we all know in show business, things don't go as you hope always. But I think that the story has conspired perfectly to create this story, which is kind of unique. I can't think of any other people in show business who could have written this story because, you know, Tom's ascent has become... I mean, the book finishes when Tom does his first movie in America, and I thought that was a complete story. Obviously, since then, it's compounded, because he's now become ubiquitous and one of the most well-known, recognisable actors in the world. So, you know, for me, the story is joyful. You know, it's ecstatic. I'm thrilled about Tom, and I have to remind myself, Nikki and I remind ourselves, oh, Tom's Tom Holland, you know. So we love it. And I'm still trying in my own little endeavours with my books. You know, the new book comes out in July, and I, as you said in your introduction, I have every hope for it to just take off.
Yeah, and that comes... The reason I said that, by the way, is because that you mentioned that
absolutely,
in Eclipsed.
Yeah.
It's a running joke slash actual part of your life that we see throughout
the book. I am continually delusional.
And that feeds nicely into what I quite like is that there's moments where
possibly Tom isn't going to go for a role when he's young. Yeah. And possibly it's going to be, there's a moment in your life that could be hugely successful. And therefore, the concept of Eclipse has to go on the back burner because the mechanic isn't quite going to work out. So you started it back in 2013. And there's these nice bits in the book where you kind of pick it up again because the balance is right for the narrative.
Sure. I mean, but it's now in, obviously. I mean, you know, the eclipse is now complete.
I mean, don't give up, Dom. Come on, man. Frost dads everywhere.
Well, my delusions are not an illness. You know, Tom, for the next decade at least, however long he decides to want to be in movies, you know, he has the pick of whatever he wants to do. Good for him. But yeah, I mean, when it started, I just thought, when I saw Tom, when I was in the stalls of Billy Elliot, which Nicky and I used to go to regularly, it occurred to me as a, wow, this kid's doing really well. He's 11. He'd never been in a ballet class. He'd been spotted in a YMCA. You know, we hadn't gone to an audition. He was asked to go to an open audition. There were hundreds of kids there that day. They'd all had leotards on and legs up by the walls. I was thinking, God, Tom can't even do a roly-poly, you know. And here, there he gets cast. So when he's playing the part, I thought, wow, that's a great story. But it was only until he got The Impossible. And really, you know, even though he had disappointments in his career post The Impossible, he'd go up for a big part. He went out for Peaky Blinders, didn't get it. He went out for November Criminals, didn't get it. But there was always enough traction for him to remain in the industry, and he was always good on screen. He always looked good. He always was was always able to get through auditions and really impress the right suits. So I kind of had an idea that the Eclipse was not going to be undone.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's some lovely bits in the book. I'm going to misquote you here, but it was a line. Okay. It was a line that kind of, you know, as a parent, it made me kind of well up slightly. Well, you talk about the fact that Tom's on the Billy Elliot posters and you say it meant that no escalator journey on the London Underground would ever last for as long as I wanted it to. Because I suppose he'd be one of the pictures and you'd see him and then he'd go by. And I love that line.
And I used to go up
that
and down.
That says it all, I think.
And the thing is, though, Dave, I used to go up and down. I'd go up. I think, like, you know what, I'll go again. Because I knew it wasn't going to last. It was going to be you know, a finite period that campaign would run. And just the notion of Tom being on a because as a kid at school, I went to school in London. I used to go to school in Shepherd's Bush, so I'd be up and down the escalators every day to get to school. So the idea that my little boy was featuring on these campaigns, it was just so surreal. And as I say, had I planned it, had I been a showbiz parent, my youngest Patrick now is in a TV show called Invasion. It's his second season. And you do meet and see people who are of that type. Mm-hmm. They are determined for their kids to become famous. And that was never our thing for Nicky and I. It came along, found us. Do you remember that big lottery advert when it first started? The big finger used to come down. It could be you. That's how we feel. We feel that from a random piece of, as you say, serendipity, this outcome has visited us. And I used to get frustrated as a kid when I remember when Southampton beat United in the FA Cup final, and they interviewed the guy from Southampton who'd scored the goal. He said it hasn't sunk in yet. And I remember a kid thinking, "What a stupid thing to say! What do you mean it hasn't sunk in? Tell us how you feel." I feel not dissimilar to that.
Okay.
Even though it's been such a long time, it's still been a decade that it's taken place. It is something I have to remind myself of, you know. And I'm delighted. Absolutely cock-a-hoop.
You mentioned Patrick there as well and doing Invasion, the TV series.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not only is Tom doing so well for himself, but, you know, your son Harry's a budding director. His twin Sam has dipped his toe. As you say, Patrick's in this TV series. You know, there's been two seasons of that.
It sounds unedifying, doesn't it? It sounds like, oh, my God, you've got a little factory of Hollands.
But in the book, you know, you say it is the natural order of things that successive generations will achieve more than their predecessors.
Yes, you hope so.
Yeah, and you do, I think, as a parent.
Yeah,
that's natural.
You do. My dad
that's
was
what Darwin taught us.
Precisely.
All.
My dad was a teacher, and he was a good teacher. He's not here anymore, but he was a good teacher. My mum was a nurse. You know, I did telly. I've done much more dough than them. You know, and I think you kind of want that to happen, although they do say now that's going to stop because of the house prices and what have you. They do say this is the last generation where kids won't be eclipsing their parents.
Oh, right. Okay.
They do say that. However, I've completely gone along with the traditions because I do think you want your kids to be successful. You want them to be happy,
Yeah, well, 100%. I mean, I was going to say, you know, how do Nicky and yourself keep up with all of your kids' projects? I mean, I know that if I don't want to say the word normal, but obviously there's lots of families that have got four children as part of it, and they've all got different interests, whether it be the clarinet or ballet or karate or whatever. But it's kind of different in the Holland household, as you say, not because you've pushed it upon them, just because their natural talent has shone through and they've managed to grab the opportunities when they presented themselves, which is important.
That's more so that I think they've really smashed the opportunities as they've come along. And I think that's the key thing. A lot of kids have talent, but you don't get the opportunity. And I do think Tom was very fortunate. He was in the right place, looked the right part for Spider-Man. He was gymnastic. He was good-looking kid. He was lithe, all those things. Had he looked like me, he wouldn't have been cast. There's no way he had a chance to sort of scrunch face like him. Can't have him. So he was lucky. He looked like his mum.
He's a good-looking lad.
He's a good-looking kid, so he looked like his mum. So... but with kids, what I always say is kids are glue for a couple. And Nicky and I spend, I'd say, 80% of our time discussing our kids.
Yeah.
And of the four, there's always one that's got the issues at the moment that we need to address.
Okay.
And it can be Tom, it could be Patrick, Sam or Harry. At the moment, it's Sam because he's in between jobs and he's looking at other things. He's going into catering. It's an incredibly tough game. So we spend a lot of time, how can we figure out to help Sam? That's what we do. And then when Tom's in a show that he's not enjoying filming, we discuss that. When Tom's got a couple of movies coming out, he's absolutely exhausted because he's really into the junket thing. He really sells the film. So when he does it, some movie stars don't go. So they don't do the junket. Tom's fully on board, so he has to fly around the world doing these 25 interviews a day. He has to be on your show. He has to be on Zoe Ball's show. He has to be on The One Show. He has to be on Graham Norton. And we worry about him then. So we talk about him a lot. We kind of... because we can't go with him. Well, we can go with him, but we're busy. But so we spend a lot of time discussing Tom and how can we help him and support him, blah, blah, blah. So the Holland family is no different to anyone else because our problems are different because of where our kids live. But they are just, everything's relative. And it is just a case of a parent, being a parent is a permanent job.
Mm.
However, even if you're Raheem Sterling's dad or mum, you know, he has great games and bad games. He misses that penalty, you have to pick him up. Even though he's got loads of loot, you have to pick him up because he missed that penalty. He's getting a lot of opprobrium online. So it's the same. It's the same, and Nicky and I are knackered.
It's so true what you say. A small little part of that, Sarah Jane and I, we got a weekend away together, our first time.
Touch.
Just the two of us. We spent 90% of the time talking about Evie and looking at pictures of her on our phone.
Yeah.
And that was what we did.
But I would say, though, then, Dave, that makes you good parents.
I hope so. I like to think so.
If you went away and you forgot...
you know, Dad's lost it all on Red 9, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Had it come in? We'd have moved.
Evie, this is Mummy 2.
And being a good parent, I just think, is just instinctive. I think you replicate what you've had, OK? So my mum and dad were very loving. They were with us all the time. Nikki's mum and dad, very loving, with her all the time. So you kind of replicate that. And I think it's very tough for kids from very broken homes to suddenly start reconciling the enormity of having a child and making it work. Because you have to be selfless. Not selfless, that's a bit too highfalutin, but you can't be selfish. If you're going to be a selfish parent, it's probably not going to work out. If you're more important than your kids, it's probably not going to work out.
Yeah. There must be some kind of, you know, something in one's DNA that just switches that off.
I guess so.
You know, obviously the love that you feel for that little creature when it enters your world, but something just changes, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But then you just said something earlier about how do you keep all the projects going.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I do defer an awful lot to Nicky, because Nicky was the one who put Tom into the dance class that got him spotted. OK, had it been me, there's no way I'd have put Tom in a dance class. He'd have been a scratch golfer. That's it. OK, there's just no way he'd have danced.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have seen any... Well, I see merit in dancing, but I wouldn't have seen Tom's rhythm that Nicky spotted. So she said, I'm going to get him into a dance class. And then Nicky is the one who's got Patrick into Invasion, because all of the castings he's got to go to, Nicky's on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
OK, so I spend all of my time working on my projects, my novels, my books and my stand-up, doing gigs all over the country. I mean, I am involved, but Nicky is central. So she's kind of pivotal in the family, matriarch. And again, Patrick wouldn't be doing Invasion had Nicky not been invested. Because there's so much rigmarole to get through. You've got to do this casting, that casting, you have to learn this side, you've got to do that speech, and all that stuff Patrick wouldn't have done. Whereas Nicky says, no, Patrick, it's worth doing this, and then lo and behold, he got cast.
Yeah.
So I have to sort of, because Nikki's probably going to listen to this. She's great.
Hey, Nikki. Well, Nikki, you know, if you are listening to this, and I hope you are, and I'm not going to call it a power struggle, but from having read Eclipsed, Dom, you must have been quite relieved because, you know, one of the opening anecdotes is accompanying Tom to a meeting with some Hollywood bigwigs in New York.
Yeah.
And you've kind of taken on this mantle because you're a stand-up comedian, because you've done some TV and you've worked in the industry that obviously you know how to handle these guys. You know what's going to go down.
Of course.
And now Nikki's kind of slowly but surely just taken that away from you.
It's gone.
By the time we get to Patrick, I'll handle this one, Dom.
Yeah. Yeah, you got away with Tom. That was a fluke. In my family, it's a running joke that Dom thinks he knows everything about show business. And I've met a lot of people. I've done a lot of gigs. I've done a lot of TV
gigs.
Well,
of course, it's founded, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
However,
you know, of course, it's
comic. However, I also do make up a lot of stuff. I do pretend, oh, yeah, I know this.
Because I know you dated Anne Hathaway. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, you see, that's the sort of thing I would... You know how we all spin things, right? Yeah, I've met Anne Hathaway. No, you haven't, mate. You've been in the same bar as her. In Los Angeles, because I went to America with my books, you see, because my books were sold to America, and it was all very exciting. I was thinking, wow, this is going to be great. I'm going to get movies made. That's fantastic. But it kind of all went soft. And even though that was disappointing, it has played, again, perfectly into this story of Eclipse. So for me, it feels very... I feel very fortunate that I can tell this story. Although I kind of embellish, they are all true.
Yeah.
There's nothing, there's no fiction.
And you're
story.
Open and honest about all of this in the book, which is the key, you know.
Yeah, and I'm also very honest about my own, not failings, but my own foibles and my own weaknesses. Because I think, you know, show business is a factor of fronting it out. And I think if you've got any kinks, then they'll get found out in show business. And so I think putting them into the book makes me more real, makes me more of a real dad, and it makes the story more comic. Because Tom's great skill is, people say, oh, how talented he is. Tom's great skill is that he backs himself. And you'll know, and I know, Dave, that in show business, particularly something less binary as sport, so you can't deny that guy finished first. It's just irrefutable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whereas in show business, there's a lot of subjective stuff. Who's better? Who's a better broadcaster? And so you better back yourself. And you know, the most successful people aren't always the most talented. They're just got the biggest kahunas.
Yeah. I mean, your words paint incredible pictures of being nervous backstage at certain things.
Yeah, still am.
I get like that, and I've been nervous backstage at many things over my career. And I was laying on my sofa reading your book in preparation for this, and it was so well written that it was getting floods of nerves coming over me.
Nice,
and I was
nice.
Like, it's like, I'm off today. I've got tomorrow. Why am I feeling this way? You say, you know, obviously you and Nikki are a team. That's important in being parents. But, and I'm only getting this from Instagram, behind the scenes it might be carnage, but it seems that all the boys get on and they are all looking out for each other and they're all so proud of each other's achievements. That must give you and Nikki, you know, a chance to raise a smile, because that's a lovely thing, I'd imagine. You know, we only have a solo child, but for all four kids to get on is great.
Yeah, there's a good fraternity amongst them, and they do have their moments, you know. I mean, and Harry's with Tom now. So Harry goes with Tom to New York. He's in New York until September, so it's a long stint away. He speaks to us every other day. So we love the fact that there's some fraternity there. But yeah, as boys, they are mates. They speak regularly on the phone. And I do think, as mum and dad, it's heartening. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they do back each other. They do look out for each other. And actually, Tom, they don't defer to Tom, which I think is really important. They kind of do in a way because of obviously what's happened to him. But he is just the big brother, Tom.
Yeah.
And they will knock him back down a couple of pegs in a way that other people wouldn't, because people are worried about losing his patronage.
Yeah.
You know what it's like. You've got your agents. They can't say anything because they could get fired. And your managers and your people and your acolytes. Because they're brothers, and they will always be brothers, that is that they have a key role to play, even though it's not official. I mean, they just get it.
There's that sentence, don't forget, Tom, I always remember you when you...
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a very powerful sentence
Absolutely.
To say to even the biggest grossing Marvel movie star of all time, right?
And I've got photographs of you. Yeah, exactly.
Any of those.
But I think if Tom didn't have that, then he would be in a real world of pain. Because if the most important word in the English language is no. And we all have to accommodate it.
Mm.
And if you are of that level, then you don't have to accommodate it. You can get to a point where that becomes something you don't hear.
And that's dangerous. And that's
very dangerous.
I mean, and not just in the world of movies, but we see people in business, in politics,
yes.
who are always, you know, taken away from hearing that word no. And it makes for some terrible people in real positions of power.
And bad outcomes.
Yeah.
Bad outcomes.
For all of us.
Yeah, for everyone, especially in politics.
Yeah.
But no, Tom's brothers are, you know, it was good that he was the first brother. It was good that Tom was the eldest. Had he been the middle, then I think that would have been not dispiriting, but it would have been difficult for the family to accommodate, you know, because he was the eldest. It was a perfect chronology, really, for us. And then Patrick's doing it at the end, you know, so, I mean, he might not continue for Patrick. Who knows? We'll see what comes in. You know, Invasion might continue, it might go, he might never get another gig again. I don't know. But there's no. I don't think there's any jealousy. I think jealousy is very corrosive, and I think there's more pride than jealousy amongst the boys.
Well, that's lovely to hear. It really is. One of the things that leapt out at me from the book, and one of the things I was most interested to ask you, was before Spider-Man and before the BAFTA and when Tom was Billy Elliot you know, all the plaudits, rightfully so, that he got for that, and he did it for such a period of time.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you were toying with asking him maybe to step out of it because you wanted him to have a normal teenage upbringing.
Yes.
And I believe that he kind of said, I'm not quite ready yet, Dad. And then there was a time when both you wanting to ask him to do this yourself and Nikki and Tom's decision to want to kind of take a step back from it kind of came together a little bit.
Yeah, a little
bit. I wondered how that conversation was.
It was pretty fluid.
Okay.
You know, I'm not an autocratic dad. Okay, I'm a strict dad. There are boundaries. My boys have boundaries. You want to talk about parenting, kids need boundaries more than anything. They need love and boundaries. They're the two things kids need, love and boundaries. And if they don't have either of those, then they're in trouble. I would have suggested to Tom, you know, come out of Billy Elliot now, Tom. You know, go back to school. You've done the show. You've done it. You know, you're getting tired. Have an ordinary childhood. And, you know, because I was never beholden to fame for Tom, ever. And I suppose I worried about him post The Impossible because there was a very long edit of that movie. It was about 18 months, 2 years, which is a good thing
for
Tom.
Yeah, okay.
That wave sequence was so difficult to create. So he finished the movie at 14 and the movie came out when he was 17 or something like that.
Right.
So he was able to just go back to school. They'd know he'd done something, but no one had seen it.
Yeah.
So he had that back at school thing. But even within that schooling, he was still going for auditions and stuff. And then Nikki sent him to a carpentry course in Wales because we thought, actually, this has gone a bit soft.
Oh, something to fall back on.
Yeah.
We
thought it's not, you know, we didn't expect it to continue just because, right? How many kids do have his ascent? Not many.
Mm.
But I was pretty, you know, as I say, fluid, and I was listening to Tom, and I would never have forced him to do something. You know, I'm not really a forcing dad. I'm more of a sort of encouraging... And let's see where it goes. You know, and I think the most important thing about being a dad, Dave, is that your kids are happy. You know, I'm a big believer in material things are nice, but actually there's plenty of rich, miserable people. You know, we can all think of people we know got loads of loot and they're really miserable.
One of the things that's mentioned in the book and was about how in your line of work as a comedian, there's this kind of, I suppose, formula of if you're not funny, you don't get the gigs, you don't get any money.
Yeah,
and
it's really real, very tangible.
It's very real, and, you know, that gig economy, and you have been able to feed four tummies and supply for a whole family based on being funny.
Being funny,
that's very rewarding. I know that we talk about the ups and the downs of your career and everything else, but ultimately that's an incredible achievement, and
no,
it's very
I'm glad
rewarding.
You picked up on that, Dave, because it's very tangible. You know, people have to be laughing out loud. There's no money in smiles. That room's laughing out loud. You can hear the audible laughter when Dominic Holland's on stage or he's not getting any work.
Mm.
And I like the fact that where we live in London, it's all bought and paid for by funny, you know. And so I am I'm mindful of being proud because I think pride kind of can be corrosive as well, but also you don't want to be falsely modest. And I have loved my career and I love doing it. I love the fact that I can do it. I'm going to go on stage on Thursday night this week and do a couple of shows in clubs, and I'll be on last, and I'll be the best act on the bill, and I'll be a good turn. I 100%. Can make the room laugh, you know? Didn't work out, didn't do live at the Apollo, didn't play the arenas, didn't play the big theatres, but that's okay because I still am in the game and I love trying. I love endeavour. I get a huge amount of self-esteem from the fact that I've done it, even if I've earned buttons at a club, but I've been a good act. People are going, I saw Tom Holland's dad. He was absolutely great. That makes me, gives me a huge sense of solace, you know. And then I put a lot of my energy into my books because I put all of my humour and all of my skills as a writer and wordsmith into writing stories that are compelling. So I've written 9 books now, and that's really where I'm focusing because my best stand-up days are behind me. You know, that's just because you're mid-50s. But I think my literary work days can be ahead of me if I can get them away, which isn't easy because there's thousands of books published every day. However, you know, I'm quite a rare person because I can make people laugh out loud. So therefore, my books are likely to at least be humorous. You know, a lot of books are said to be funny and they're not. Whereas, you know, if you're making people laugh for a living, then the chances are your books are going to be worth reading.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed, the process of reading the book in preparation for this interview, Dom. So I would totally agree with that. And as I say, you know, they're really funny, but there's some beautiful moments in there when you talk about
poignant.
Being a parent. They are poignant. I would agree.
I think with 4 kids and 30 years of being a dad, or not quite 30 years, you go through a lot of experiences.
Mm.
And you make a lot of mistakes. And there's lots of things that confound your expectations. And so I think if you can put them into a book and it's heartfelt and it's honest, then as a parenting book, people have said to me, oh, why don't you write a parenting manual? And I say, well, that's, first of all, I don't feel ready to, or I don't feel inclined to do that. Here's how I did it. You know, who wants to write that book?
Yeah. And that would kind of go against much of the tone of,
I think so.
Of Eclipsed, really.
It wouldn't suit me at all. But no. I think Eclipsed is that book anyway, because this is how I brought up, well, Nikki and I brought up 4 kids, you know, getting on with it, instinctively getting on with it, and, you know, good things came in.
Yeah.
You know.
I totally agree. Dom, you obviously, you know, we just touched on it there, that you really enjoy doing stand-up. You're an award-winning, talented stand-up comedian, and we all know about the concept of the dad joke. I'm sure that even though you are a funny man, you've made all 4 of your children wince at one point or another. It's just an affliction that comes to us all. But what makes you laugh about your kids? I mean, I love the bit in the book where you talk about putting the Janet Jackson dance routine on.
That's a true story.
And that's where
again.
Nikki said, hang on, Tom can dance.
Yes.
And you're like, can he?
Yeah.
Because he was in the little bouncer in between the door frame.
He was.
Right?
He couldn't even walk. He couldn't even walk when I was on the Des O'Connor show, and I did Des a couple of times now, God bless him. And Nikki spotted that. And all of those things were absolutely true. I mean, I worked with Elton John before in 1994. Who knew backstage when I was working with Elton John, I was doing the warm-up for a show he was doing. Who knew that he would write a musical that would become, for him, many millions of pounds that he'd have made from that show, millions of pounds, but the show had a far bigger impact on my life than his.
Mm.
I mean, isn't that extraordinary?
It is.
I mean, if you'd said to me in 1994, you're going to die on your ass tonight, Dom, because you're doing the warm-up in front of 3,000 people.
This is the Brit Awards,
the Brit
right?
Awards,
yeah.
3,000 people, Alexander Palace. No one gives a damn who you are. And, you know, I was just trying to get married and get enough money to go on holiday. But Elton John, as famous now as he was then, you know, one of the biggest rock stars in the world, Billy Elliot has made Tom Spider-Man. And Tom's made, you know, a lot of money from, you know, he's a wealthy kid.
Mm.
But it's not just the wealth, it's what it's done for my family, it's what it's done for me. And that's an incredible piece of, and there's loads of those in Eclipse, there's loads of moments, and you just don't know what's going to happen, do you? And that's what makes the story so enchanting. But what makes me laugh about my kids, when I was famous, in quotes, my kids were young, so they didn't know I was on telly. When I was doing the Raw Variety and Have I Got News For You and the Clive James Show, the Clive Anderson Show, my kids didn't know that Dad was on telly. So all my kids knew is that Dad is a comedian. Right? So Dad goes around the country making people laugh. So I used to say, what they think I do is go around the country tickling people. And that's the sort of thing you keep
quiet. And let's hope that part of show business is long gone.
Exactly. I mean, that's the sort of thing you keep quiet in the playground. What's your dad do? I haven't got a dad. But my boys have got... In the family, though, bless her, Nikki's... Well, we got a female dog who we all absolutely love. But Nikki is... There's five boys in Nikki. But there's a great atmosphere. You know, there's a lot of banter and there's a lot of back and forth, taking the mickey out of Paddy. There's the twins in the middle who are very tight. You know, you talk about fraternity earlier. The twins have got a real bond. And Harry and Tom have this great bond because Harry made a short film that Tom's in.
Yes.
So that's been made, and that's a lovely movie with Lindsay Duncan and Tom in the leads. Harry wrote and directed it. So the fact that Tom did that for Harry is a testament to fraternity, because Tom, you know, that's kind of compromising for Tom because there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
When Tom Holland's in a film, you know what? A lot of people will watch that. And if it was rubbish, but it's not rubbish at all, it's really, really very good. So I love the fact that Tom stepped in. An actor let Harry down. He was being very difficult for Harry. So Harry said, listen, I don't think this is going to work. And Tom said, I'll do it.
Wow.
And I thought, well, that's really kind, Tom. It's a 4-day shoot. It was 22 minutes long. It's quite an involved film. And I just love the fact that Tom stepped up and did it. Mm. Now, obviously, that gives a lot of scrutiny on Harry. Means a lot of people are going to watch his movie and make judgments on his directing abilities, but I think he's going to stand up and it's going to be fine. But I was just thrilled that Tom did that. He could have said, well, you'll have to get someone else. But Harry didn't officially ask him. It was Tom saying, I'll do that for you, mate.
Lovely.
And he was great in it. And Lindsay Duncan, famous Lindsay Duncan, she was a beautiful woman, and we had a great time watching that get made in Hammersmith in this old pub that they hired. And so I was really, really chuffed when he did that, Tom. Worked really hard, he was tired, he'd done a movie, and he was working, you know, a long day for his brother, for no money.
Very nice.
He couldn't get his ordinary rate. Dad's selling his house to give it to Harry to pay his other son.
Now, over the years here on the Dad Pod, I've been given some excellent dad advice, is what we call it.
Right.
From the likes of Rob Beckett, Tyson Fury, Tim Minchin, Samo Farah, Emma Willis.
The illustrious company.
Chris and Rosie Ramsey. Well, absolutely, Dominic. It's been great having you on. I'd like to ask, you know, what is your best piece of dad advice? I must admit that the idea of trying to raise your kids with both love and boundaries has already been one of the nicest, kind of punchiest bits of dad advice I've had on the podcast so far. So thank you for that.
Well, I mean, I would reiterate that, because when people don't really know what you mean by boundaries, kids need to have boundaries, because otherwise kids aren't able to make decisions that are good for them. If you just let kids make decisions, they just choose bubblegum, Britney Spears and YouTube.
Mm.
They won't choose reading.
Have you been spying on me?
But, you know, you, if you just give a kid an iPad and then that takes care of the kid, then look, we have all done it, and I did it as well.
Mm.
However, you have to have those boundaries, and those boundaries have to be sacrosanct. And then the kid then respects you, because the kid then defers to you, because he thinks, oh, actually, that person has authority over me. And it creates this... Not deference, but just respect.
Mm.
But what I would say, and I did a TED talk on this. People always ask me, how did you make Tom Holland famous? How did you make Tom Holland an actor? What I say is this, as a piece of dad advice. It's really hard to be great at maths. Really hard. Really hard to be the best football player at school. I went to school in London. Some of the kids in my school were just beautifully gifted at football and went on to play for Gillingham, Queen's Park Rangers, but lower levels. You realise how brilliant the kids... I mean, Dennis Wise was at the opposite school to me, went on to play for England. Dennis was a brilliant football player. But very difficult to be Dennis Wise. Very difficult to be the cleverest kid at maths. But it's really easy to be polite. And I've always said to my kids growing up, look, if you know someone's name, use it. Say hello, say goodbye, say please and say thank you. Now, what will happen... I didn't want my kids to be saccharine, but I just wanted my kids to impress people. I think... It's easy for your kids to stand out by just being polite. Now, that's difficult if the kid's shy, and I didn't have shy kids. But my boys were polite. And I think adults, that marked them out. Now, whether it had a bearing on them getting on in the world, I don't know. But I just think it's a good way to be. And it's easy, Dave. That's the key thing. To be good at maths, really difficult. You have to get a tutor. violin, play the violin. How difficult is that? Be polite, it's easy.
I think as well, you know, if I may add to that, because, you know, by having polite children, you raise polite adults and members of society, and you hope that, you know, that...
And people like them.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, and you raise likeable people who...
And the key thing is, it's easy.
Mm.
It's really easy to just get those four things. Hello, goodbye, please, thank you. It's really easy. And use their name.
I also think as well, the love thing, I think, obviously goes without saying, where possible. And the other side of boundaries... my opinion is that it also creates a safety net. And I think when a child feels those boundaries around them, it's also a support.
Completely.
And it allows them, when they do, like we all do, go off and do our things, we've been given those boundaries, we've been given that support, we've hopefully been given some good manners as well, and we've been given the love.
Oh, no, I agree.
And I think that ticks a whole load of boxes for your kids to thrive.
And what you've just said there, the kid feels supported. So the wealthiest kids in Britain are not the kids in Knightsbridge with a mum in Geneva and a dad in London and a mistress here and a mistress there and a private jet to Hong Kong. They're not the wealthiest kids. The wealthiest kids are the kids where the mum and dad love them and mum and dad are invested in their happiness. Then they're the wealthiest kids in Britain. And that's quite a, you know, profound thing to say, because you're thinking, oh, well, it's okay for you because, you know, I had a mate from school who grew up in a real grotty council estate. He didn't have a dad, but he had an unbelievably loving mum, Alice, and he is the successful bloke now because of Alice's absolute love. And it was the go-to house for us at school. Mm. Even though it was a little tiny flat, it was the go-to house. After a party, we'd stay at Sean's, and Alice, as a parent, made him the man he is now. And now he's got three kids. He lives in Sydney. He's a successful guy, but because she made him wealthy, even though they were poor.
100%. I mean, and we've had parents on here who have got many different things going on, and we've had people whose parents, whether they were, you know, they just had one parent or they had guardians or whatever it may be. If you can get that love and those boundaries around there, then you're...
Security.
You know, the security is important.
This is my home, this is my nest, and I'm in a good shape here. Then that kid's then got a chance of, as I say, germinating and becoming a tree, which is what you want.
100%.
You want your kids to become successful and liked.
Hmm.
And superheroes.
And friends with Robert Downey Jr. That's, listen, these final questions here I ask to all the guests.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'd like to ask you, your kids listen to this podcast back in 15 years from now. What would you like to say to them? The floor is yours.
Gosh. What I would like to say in 15 years' time, I hope you guys are doing what you want to be able to do, and that you're in good shape, and that you've got kids of your own, and you're realising just what a hero your old man is.
And finally, Dominic, there's an old saying about it's impossible to pick your favourite child. Yes or no? You don't have to name them. Do you have a favourite child?
It's dead easy. and it's blindingly obvious.
Yeah, the one who flies you first class to LA, right?
But here's the thing. If that were the case, then they would know, and you would be undermined as a parent.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea, the notion, I mean, I joke about it on stage, that's one of my lines on stage, but the notion of that being playing out, that Tom's my main man, is so alien to Nicky and I.
Yeah.
You know, I told him off the other day, Tom. I mean, he's 25 now, but...
What did you tell him off for?
I think his loan agreement was... No, I can't remember what it was now, but I had to get short with them all,
right, okay.
And particularly. And Tom sits up and listens, which is, again, that thing from childhood.
That's the boundaries and the love, Dom.
That is exactly the point.
Yeah.
And that's how it plays out. And then it's good for Tom, because then it constrains him. Otherwise, you've met them. We both know them. The celebrities are out of control.
Yeah.
You know, it's just obvious.
Well, as I like to call it, the good old days.
you know the people are going to crash.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
You do. Yeah. The candle burns brightly for some, but only for
just,
a short time.
You know, goes out.
Dominic, it's been such a joy having you here
nice to
on
you
the
have
Dad
me
Pod.
On, Dave.
Eclipsed, I thoroughly enjoyed. And as I say, I'm such a big fan of audiobooks as well. So I'm so pleased it's coming out in July.
Yeah.
It also contains a conversation between yourself and Tom in there as well.
Yes.
Some bonus material, would we call
it? A bit of bonus material. What it is, it's, I've read the book. It's about 80,000 words. It's quite a substantial book. So I've read it. It's read by Dom and it's in conversation with Tom. So at the end of every other chapter, Tom and I reminisce. So we reminisce on the New York meeting. We reminisce on the fact that I did the Brit Awards. And so it's really Tom, you know, and we talk about Spider-Man and how he's doing stuff now. So, it is kind of an update, but really it's us reflecting on the eclipse.
Well, what you have there is a great thing for all of your fans, a great thing for all of Tom's fans, and a really nice time capsule for you as father and son, something really nice for the family to take forward,
and
which
I
is
hope,
good.
Because Patrick doesn't remember anything of the impossible. He was four at the time.
Right.
So in terms of a chronicle, it's kind of an important diary.
Yeah.
And so that book eclipsed, I think, the boys in the years to come and my grandkids and their kids, they will read Eclipsed. And know that, oh, Granddad did this, and Tom, that's how Tom got discovered. And so I think it'll become an important book for the family, but obviously for the fans and for the people who want to, you know, hear about Tom and stuff. It is just a really heartrending read, you know, funny, comic, poor old, you will read it and go, poor old dad. What an ass.
As I say, very enjoyable. The audiobook edition out in July, as is the brand new novel by Dominic called Made in England. Dom, thanks ever so much
Not
for your time.
Thank
and
you,
send
Dave.
My love to the family. And as I say, Tom's been a guest on various shows I've done over the years. And
yes.
He is, as you say, a very polite, charming young man and a genuine movie star. So I wish him all the best and to the other boys as well.
Good lad, Dave. Thank you very much.
What a start to the brand new series of My Dad Pod with Dom Holland. The Eclipsed audiobook is out on June 19th. You can pre-order it now. Also, Made in England is out on July 3rd. You can also pre-order that right now. Just head to dominicholland.co.uk for more information. And why not give the Dad Pod a follow if you haven't already? And why not leave a nice comment and a review? And if you know any Spider-Man fans, why not recommend it to them too? You can message me on my Instagram. It's dave_berry_insta or email us daveberrydadpod@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you. I'll be back very soon with another famous face talking all things parenthoods. Until then, thank you ever so much for listening.